Is there a method, like, don't start too fast, maybe, so that you don't run out of gas, or?
I know. I just go balls out the first rep, and then we'll see what happens after. Try to finish.
Get an all-access experience with player interviews, exclusive practice information, and post-game analysts with the sauce you can't find anywhere else. This is South Philly Sauce, hosted by Flyers game day host Ashlyn Sullivan and Philly sports radio legend Al Morganti.
That was Rasmus Ristolainen with an epic quote to describe the skate test. Welcome into South Philly Sauce, an Odyssey original brought to you by 94 WIP. And Jack Daniels, Ashlyn Sullivan, Al Morgani here with you. It is officially hockey season. No more waiting around. We have actual things to talk about on the ice. One of the being the state test that Al and I were there for. I love watching it. I think it's the coolest thing ever. I think it's a really cool thing in sports, what Torts does. It is wild to watch. And I loved Risto's approach because there really is no approach to this. You see guys go guns blaze, and I won't use what Risto said instead. Or you see guys take it easy, but by the last lap, they're struggling.
Yeah, like I've seen it, you know, we get to see it a lot now because Torts is here. It's amazing to me how it's become kind of a thing, a big thing, because it's been going on for, he goes from wherever team he goes to, he brings that rope with him and keeps the nets apart the same distance every year. But I actually think, Ashlyn, that I was worried about it like last year, like this, you can't do this old school stuff anymore. It just doesn't work. But I find that it's kind of unifying and like all those cliches that some coaches use, you know, team bonding, you know, I have a thing where you stand and you fall back and it's supposed to catch all that nonsense that goes on. I think this is far more team bonding than anything you can do at some picnic that you have.
Yeah.
that they come together. And it really is a matter of just try to get through it. Just get through it. Like, what's the old saying? If you're going through hell, just keep going. And you just want to make sure you keep going. There's so many ways to look at it. I mean, if you're really into skating, I mean, some people are a skating coach and they just want to look at, oh, look at the length of the strides that he has. It's like, he's just, you know, can't even get his feet apart anymore going around, mm-hmm. or watch him going around the net, you know, just kind of cruising around like Styles. But I don't think they're looking at any of that. I mean, Torts mentioned, he's just looking at just, I don't care if you have to crawl to just put your skate on the ice and push yourself to just get through. So, I mean, it is fascinating to watch, but I find that guys are in better shape than I would suspect at times.
Yeah.
I think you do football, baseball, how many sports you cover? It's like insane, right? But everybody comes to camp in some sort of shape anymore.
Yeah, you have it's like, to, or you're going to die.
It's not like at 20 years ago, you know, you just come in, I'm using this to get in shape. It's impressive to just literally hit the ice like that and be able to go. And I think it bonds the team. I actually think it's like but it sort of forces you to keep in shape because you don't want to be the one that just can't get through it every year.
Yeah, I think that's the key, is you don't want to be the one, to the point where I was interviewing Cam York on Media Day, which was the day before the skate test. And we all remember Cam York struggled last year, and Cam York talked about how he still hears about it, how everyone knows he struggled. He can't get away from it. And it was his goal to not be the guy this year. And I think that's a real thing that this sticks around. If you're the one that struggles, people are going to chirp you. People are going to remember. I mean, we all remember.
Yeah.
He struggled last year. He still struggled a little bit, but looked better. And Torts talked about it where he saw improvement at least.
Yeah. And it's not when you have things like that, there's certain things guys aren't. I remember Keith Jones said Roger Nielsen had this bicycle thing. You had to go bike. And, you know, Jonesy had a bad knee. And I think they had to send out some kind of a search team for him. He was so far behind. I actually think he hurt his knee in the thing. But, you know, those things, and that's also part of it. It's like, well, he's just not good at that. You know, it's like, it doesn't mean anything. And, you know, when you get on the ice, I mean, you know, you're not going to, obviously, unless it's a 20 overtime game or whatever. But just the fact that he came in expecting it, I think that says a lot. And like he did a lot better, I thought, than previously. But there's certain guys that just they aren't made for the marathon.
No. And I think, I mean, Coots is one of them, but credit to him. He got through it. And you worry about guys. I was worried about Drysdale with everything he went through. I was like, please don't hurt the man.
Yeah, I would worry about that too.
But I like how they made him do it still. I mean, there is no favors here.
Yeah, nobody can. That's not the day you call in sick.
No.
that's not the one you get through. And that quote by Risto that we had earlier was like,
the best.
I mean, I miss him. I miss just interviewing him. Even I know I'm going to get two words sometimes, or just a stare, what you say on what's going to go on. I find him a really interesting character in this. I mean, he was missing for so long last year after a couple of surgeries.
Yeah,
and he's in the news because he's always in the trade rumor stage.
Yeah.
On which, you know, what team could use somebody like that. And the more this goes on, the more the salary cap goes up, the more his contract doesn't look like this huge albatross for the team to carry. And look at what defensemen make. And they could really use, at the beginning, I thought he was one of the most improved players under Torts, from one year under Torts to the next, mm-hmm. in the way he played the game, the way he pushed the game outside. So I think he's he's kind of a forgotten name that's gone on that could be a real big part of what's going to go on here this year.
Yeah, and I think credit to him for coming back. He said he's healthy, and I didn't realize he talked about how he's missed the past three season openers from being unhealthy and how much he's looking forward to going into a year where he doesn't have to worry about stuff. So he is a massive piece, and he is hysterical, and he's not trying to be. And I think that's what makes him so funny.
No, he's like like, I remember last year we were talking to him. I was asking him about the South Philly sauce, who throws the best sauce on the team. And he just looked at me and goes, they throw hand grenades. I'm like, all right. it's pretty simple like that. And I asked him, like, I listen to a lot of music, even some Finnish groups, right? And he goes, I don't listen to music. Not much.
Okay. Yep, that's about right.
I just play hockey.
He's a simple man.
Yes.
I think last media day, I'll never forget, we interviewed him. We did a sit down with him. And I was asking about Philly. I asked all the guys about Philly, and they're like, oh, favorite restaurants. This is so cool. Like, they were so elaborate. And Risto goes, I don't leave my house unless I go to Whole Foods. That's it.
I love the post game stuff when somebody, I just stare at you and go, well, yeah, I did this, and that's, you couldn't see it. You idiot.
You idiot.
It was pretty. So, I mean, I think he's, and most importantly on the ice, if it play physical and just keep in your spot. Like, there were times I thought Torch should have taken that rope that he uses in that skate test and put it on him to stop him from going chasing the play here and there. And he didn't do it as much. And I thought he was a much more effective player.
Yeah, we're excited for him this season. And really, I think after being there for the skate test, you look forward to this year. It's nice to be back. It's nice to see the guys. And it was nice to hear from John Tortorella. We hadn't heard from him since this past offseason, and a lot of questions. And there's two points that we want to throw to, because I think they were massive for him to be so honest about the organization. So let's hear what he had to say about where he thinks what went wrong last season with the missing the playoffs.
Yeah, my biggest regret is I don't think we played well enough in the areas at the end of the year. I think I said that to you guys at the end of the year. I don't think I put enough time into that. And as we always, as coaches always talk about, come late in the year, that neutral zone shuts down. I think we were probably one of the best transition teams in the league, right? And you kind of, I think my blinders were on in watching us play that quickly and quite well. I think we struggled finishing, but we created a lot of offense off transition. I did not do a good enough job in making sure we can play another way at a certain time of the year. I think that hurt us, and I thought our goaltending, it struggled, and rightfully so. And as I said, it's not to blame Urs. I wore him out. But at that point in time, that was the decision we made. We felt he was the best one to give us an opportunity. And it was kind of force-fed to him, and that hurt us. So a combination of both things. But the one that has bothered me all summer is I think I let the team down, and I didn't put enough effort or enough focus into rebounds, deflections, playing under the hash, and creating offense through some grind when we needed it. You know, we can talk about our goaltending. It did. It struggled at the end of the year. We didn't score any goals either. And that's why you end up, whatever we were. So that falls on me. And that's something I've thought about, and it's going to be a point of emphasis this year as we start.
So Al, I loved how honest he was. I loved how he admitted that he feels like he drove Erickson into the ground. And it's no one's fault because of the situation. That's what the Flyers had to do. But the goaltending wasn't where it needed to be at the end of last year. We all know that. And for Torts to be able to reflect and say that he didn't really adapt the game enough when the postseason got here. And I was a little confused by that, and I asked you, so I think it's important you explain to fans what he meant by that, because I thought they were kind of changing, but in Torts' vision, they didn't change enough.
Yeah, if you remember, Ashlyn, last year, when early in the year, when we were talking about that skate test, they're in good shape early in the year, which is sometimes, I think, why they outplay other teams. They're in such good shape. But remember early in the year where everybody was saying the Flyers work so hard, they work so hard, and Torts, and a lot of people, including myself, I think, were thinking, oh, he's just trying to be counterintuitive or whatever. When he would say, it's not that we're working that hard. We are working hard, but this is a fast team. And everything was done off the rush, and they were fast. And he kept stressing that he wanted them to be a fast team. That was the year they were going to work on offense, to get everything going, to get some more opportunities, whatever. And they scored off the rush, and they were fast coming in through the neutral zone. Mm-hmm. And he did warn, I got to say, he did warn throughout the year that this is going to get more difficult as the season goes on, because the teams play different defense. And they shrink the neutral zone, in essence, and try to get through it. It's very difficult. And I think the point he's trying to make is we couldn't get through it, and we couldn't get we call greasy goals, dirty goals, rebound goals, tips, whatever. We were relying too much on speed getting through the way we played throughout. So I think he was trying to take some responsibility. And in other words, yeah, the goaltending struggled. Mm-hmm. We couldn't score goals at times. But it was my fault that I didn't adapt our style of play, more static maybe, in the offensive zone. However, and if that power play had just been just even three ticks below what you would expect normal, I guess, I don't think they would have had those issues. They would have had goals. And I think that's the elephant in the room that wasn't addressed in terms of why we couldn't get anything done. It would have been a huge difference. And I think they have the components this year to make that different. But I think most importantly, what you saw there was a coach willing to take some responsibility for what went on there, not throwing it all on the goaltending or Tippett couldn't score and Forster couldn't score and so-and-so couldn't Konecny, couldn't get three a night or whatever. Yeah. It was like, part of it was me not stressing enough that we have to play a little bit differently.
Right. And I love the honesty. And it's to the point where we left, we're like, yeah, like power play really should have been addressed, but it's at the point where you can't even ask anymore because we don't know what's going to change. You put guys in a bad position when you ask about it right now, because we haven't seen it in training camp. Or I think in a week it's fair to ask. Right now it's so bad. Why ask?
Yeah, we don't know, because we've got this wild card in Michkov, who I got to say, 2 weeks ago, I think you asked, 2 weeks or a week ago maybe, we're asking about the power play, Michkov, what he was going to do. And I said, well, anybody that expects him to go behind the net and run everything from behind there is crazy, because that's not the way things run in the NHL. And then I watched the rookie game, a couple of them, the rookie game he was in particularly. Man, he's amazing behind the net. And I'm trying to get some, I don't watch much KHL hockey or whatever, but I believe they have a different rule behind the net on how you can handle a puck or whatever. Mm-hmm. But it's not just his hands behind the net and where he sets things up. It's his physicality, how he rolls off of players behind the net. Now, mind you, this rookies, it's not like NHL. But I was looking at that and thinking, maybe as unorthodox as it sounds, maybe they can run a different kind of a power play. I mean, it's a lot to put on a rookie, but I think there's times this kid's just going to do it. And I also think Tortorella is going to let him. I do. I think this is a really fascinating thing to watch on to watch him, Tortorella, coach this kid and let him go. I'm fascinated by it. You've covered a lot of coaches. For as much heat as Tortorella gets for kind of being nasty at times, whatever, mm-hmm. quick, have you ever covered a coach that lets you in so much on what's going on?
No, never. And at first I thought, oh, that's just hockey, because I'm so used to covering NFL and college football, and they give you nothing. They think it's such a competitive advantage that they don't say Mekhi Becton's the starting right guard when we've seen every rep of that. And then I go to hockey and I'm like, oh, that's just hockey. But the more I learn about hockey, the more I talk to other people, it's not, it's torts.
No, he let you in. He's given you cues. And it doesn't hide very much. Now, he's protective of his players. That's where the reputation comes from when something goes wrong. But
and
as far as
ask a negative question about the player. Yeah.
Right. And the other fascinating part is, you've covered the NHL, the NFL, Major League Baseball. Have you ever seen practices as open as hockey? Like you can go in and you want to know how they run their power play? You want to know how their shorthanded drills work? It's right there in front of you.
That was my biggest impression. Yeah.
It's open to the public to come in and see what's going on. And Torts is really, I think, really good in explaining what they're trying to do, how they're trying to do it, which is why with Mitch Cobb, I think you could have a Netflix series on what's going on here, from his English, how he's learning that, how he's learning to play, how Tortorella is going to deal with him, general manager who comes out and says, well, there's going to be times it's going to get ugly, basically. This is before season starts, and it's all there for you to see and to get the fans who are fascinated by it to be able to see the whole thing play out in front of them without it being a Netflix type or an NFL, where they call that thing in the NFL that
Hard
the
not.
Giants screwed up so royally. That thing there.
Yeah, it is fascinating. And he's such a figure now. I mean, whenever we post on social media, if it's Mitch Cobb related, it could be him just standing there. I mean, I tweeted out a clip of him just standing at media day, and it was my highest performing tweet in like years. And all he did was just stand there. It was like, it's unbelievable the impact he has. And I think if it works, the power play is just so desperate to be fixed. I don't think we should care about putting too much pressure on him or wearing him out. Like, it just has to be fixed.
Yeah, he'll be a part of it. And then if the other part that's remarkable is they have a defenseman, Bonk, coming up, who's another terrific character to deal with. Yeah. Who runs the power play as a defenseman in the bumper position, which I covered hockey a million years. I never seen that. Mm-hmm. So if the future for the Flyers is a Russian behind the mad Russian behind the net and a defenseman in the bumper, I'm like, it's literally bonkers, but, but it might be the future on what's going to happen. In the meantime, I think this kid's creativity and it'll help everybody. You want to complain about the coaching in it. You know, everybody runs a basic system, whatever. If you don't have guys that can throw sauce across the ice, that can go seam pass, this, that, it's really difficult to get it going.
And
the Penguins have terrific play. Theirs goes dry at times, but you need that. They've been looking for something to unlock this forever. So if this kid's got the combination, Torts is just going to let him go.
Yeah, absolutely. And I forgot to tell you, with Cam York, he, to quote a hockey term, a thing of beauty, this man is in interviews. He was telling me that Mitch Cobb, his nickname from everyone is Mitchy. That's what everyone's calling him. And I was like, oh, Cam, like, what else do you call him? I know you have some other nicknames for him. He's like, oh, you know, Mad Russian, Russian Hobbit. It's like, you call him that? Like, oh, yeah, he loves it.
Russian Hobbit. Oh, God. Oh, man, that York. This guy. And by the way, Heaton Drysdale, they are so important to what's gone on. So in addition to having a really good attitude coming in, I mean, to have sort of this easygoing, good vibration type of thing, their commitment to coming in shape is really going to be important to this team. That if those two, If those two develop the way I expect, especially York this year, that could be a strength that I don't think a lot of people are seeing coming into this season.
Yeah, and it speaks to what we just heard from Torts, that the kids just have to step up at this point. And speaking of that, I thought he was fantastic. When there's expectations for this year and everyone assumes they're just going to make the playoffs because of what happened last year, let's hear what he had to say about the status of this team going forward.
This year, no free agents, right? Misha's the only one coming in. We don't have any money. We won't have money next year. Now the kids have got to get better. They grew. We've got to ask to be better. All of us have to be better because this is kind of our group. There may be a couple of guys here and there, depending on what happens in camp. I'm anxious to see some of these exhibition games that change something. But a lot of our lineup is going to be a lot like last year. So we have to get better. And because there's no help coming free agency. Not for a couple of years. It's just where we are as an organization. And quite honestly, I'm glad it's that way. Because I think when you think you need a free agent now, you forget about the process of building. We still have a lot of work to do in growing with our youth. So this year is, okay, Tip, Forrester, Cam York, all those guys, and those to name a few, we're really happy with your progression, but it's not good enough. We got to keep on getting better. And that includes the coaching staff in how we coach, as I was just explaining to Jackie. We have to do things differently also. You can't keep on being the same guy. We have to evolve as a coaching staff, teach our same principles, but maybe in a different way of messaging to make sure we're on top of things.
And that's why Cam York and Jamie Drysdale are such a good example of what you just said, Al. It's to the point where their young guys, their kids, have to take a step in the right direction to become, being old here, young adults. They have to mature. They have to be what they are supposed to be. He mentioned guys like Forrester, Farabee, York. I mean, there's a bunch of them. There's a good 10 of them that have potential, but they need to reach that this year because he's right. They're not at a point in their franchise where they can just go pluck the big free agent and call it a day.
Yeah, it's when you're a professional athlete, you age. You know how they say like dog years for dog? that's kind of like you're only like a kid for a year. Yeah. And then you come back like, okay, that's over. Now show me the numbers. Mm-hmm. Let's see what you got. We live with a year, maybe two. And in hockey, we're talking 19 and 20, or maybe even 18 to 19. And look at Farabee. I mean, he's still young, right? But it's 24. Like, okay, yeah. But, you know, now you're...
Might as well be 30, yeah.
You're the veteran that we're going to lean on here. And I think that's what you see. And I think Quartz was trying to... I think he's trying to guard against, like, you had a really good year. It's called, I guess, the cliche be rest on your laurels, whatever. Mm-hmm. It doesn't work that way. You start at ground zero again. And you just go from there. Nothing carries over in terms of the success that you had. And I think that's why that the skating was so important, getting in and doing things like that. Just a reminder. I think this is going to be a tough training camp because I think he has to stress that what we did last year doesn't mean anything this year, especially for a team that, for whatever god awful reason, the NHL is sending into Western Canada to start a season. Man, you better be ready. I really think that with Michkov and everything, if they had started this season at home, the energy they would have had would have been really important. You could really fed off it. This is going to be tough. And I think Torts is trying to establish real quick, like, this, what we did last year, forget. It's going to be tougher this year than last year.
Yeah, absolutely. And he mentioned the third year, how important that is in a franchise and an organization going forward. So I do think it's going to be tough as well. And it is time for some of those guys to step up. And that leads us to guys getting healthy, which is huge for this team because a lot of those guys in that category that need to step up just frankly weren't healthy last year and didn't have the capability of stepping up. Sean Couturier, while he's not in that category, is a massive part to this team. I thought it was encouraging. He talked about the surgery. He had the core surgery in the offseason, how it was minor. It wasn't like the guys you hear that have to rehab 4 months, more of like a cleanup, where Jamie Drysdale was so opposite. It was major to the point where he was honest that it was affecting him every single game, how he woke up, how he warmed up. Very clear. Drysdale was pretty hurt last year.
Yeah, we could see it. There was initially, I think there was adrenaline when he got here. He was kind of flying around. And wasn't flying around as much. And you could tell there was something there in terms of his skating. I think he was done a disservice by his previous team. Kind of, I think he could have used some more development as a smaller guy to come in. And he's, I think what he has to guard against mentally and physically is being that guy that's always hurt. That's why I think it was important to get healthy, to get some time and come in and show what you can really do. You don't want to be the guy that, you know, is he going to be able to play? But I will say he motored through it for the most part. I mean, he really wanted to be a big part of this. And I don't think it's lost on him, the whole how it happened, player that went the other way. It's going to be a big part of the rivalry between the organizations. You know, when Gauthier comes here, when the Flyers go there, it's going to be, it's going to follow him throughout what kind of a deal that was and how important he can be. And for him to come back, I think, and looking bigger, stronger, and that's what you see with hockey players if they're drafted so young, to come in and be a bigger, stronger player. And I think that's what you see from him, and maybe that'll help him become a healthier player throughout. But I think he's in a good mental frame of mind, in that I don't think Tortorella has to push him. I think he pushes himself to reach that next level.
Yeah, you can tell he wants that. And I think I noticed him definitely way bigger. Cam York definitely put on a ton of weight. And Tyson Forrester, to me, looks like the biggest difference. And just how young he is. I mean, he's such a big frame, but he definitely has filled it out, where it's a noticeable difference when Forrester walked in the room for our media day interviews. It was like, oh, this dude put on a good bit of weight. So that's good.
Yeah. I mean, they're big, they're kids, and they come in and they become men, stronger. That's just the way, you know, it's just happened. But if I also add the gym to it, there's certain guys get a little, they put too much into that. Their natural skill will get them through, and they just bulk up too much. But I don't think that's the case in any of these guys here. And York will be especially important to play like that. And Forster, he's just he can just be a monster in this case. He can just be an absolute monster in this case, that you can count on him so much and get that shot off and just be strong. And I think Mitch Cobb's going to help him an awful lot.
Who's calling?
I don't know. That's a landline that we only leave here so that people can call for spam and stuff like that. And we got I think my wife thinks that we're going to have a nuclear situation where the only thing that's going to work is AOL and landlines. So
if so, we're all coming over.
I think she sets up for that. Plus, no, I don't want to get into this.
No, well, you're into it.
How can you go to like a phone company or something? And they say, okay, it's $100 for this, but if you add a landline, it's $70. Why?
Because they're trying to keep them in business. They're trying to hold on.
Why do I need this at all? It doesn't make any sense to me. But okay, sign me up for that. And then the only thing that happens is it's like, you know, they call, I think it's Sarah McLachlan. There's some dog needs my help. That's all I get.
And just what we need, an Allism Panda podcast. So go through the weekend with that, folks. Thanks for tuning in to South Philly Sauce, an Odyssey original, brought to you by 94 WIP. And Jack Daniels, we'll see you next week.